Free Talk Live, and the phones are open. You can join the show by dialing in here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And here in the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Matt.
All right. There's lots to discuss. In fact, this ISIS, there's apparently ISIS is back in the news. I mean, I haven't heard ISIS in the news for years.
You know what's weird? They're calling them IS now for some reason. I've seen that over and over again. Why were they? What's
Islamic
with the name
State?
Change?
Mm-hmm. Because it was
Islamic
like,
State. Yeah, that must be it.
Hmm.
I forget what the other IS was supposed to stand for.
I can't remember now. Islamic State.
But these guys were like the big bads in the Middle East for a long time after the Taliban, right? So like the story, if I recall correctly, was the Bush the second went into Afghanistan and Iraq and destroyed the status quo there, took the Taliban out of power, and the Taliban were holding down some of the worst characters. And so getting rid of the Taliban from power allowed the worst characters to rise to the top.
Yeah, they just screwed the jar off the top and let all the scumbags out, basically.
Yeah, and so, and they formed ISIS. The worst baddies formed ISIS. And then ISIS became the big boogeyman over there. And I remember there was some number of years where on Free Talk Live, we were actually playing the videos of the beheadings and such, and talking about them, because you could not
the beheadings that the federal government was allowing.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I mean, whether they
were
allowing them or not,
destabilized Iraq.
They were happening
or staging. I saw a few interesting photos of what looked like a sound stage.
They were surprisingly well produced. These videos, like very, very high production quality. Camera work is good, well cut, well edited. It was like almost like Hollywood kind of level production on some of these videos.
Well, also our military, well, the government's military, the U.S. government's military was beheading people or torturing people like under cloaks and electrocuting them and stuff. So it's hard to be exactly sure who you're talking about when you're saying baddies doing beheadings.
It really just sounds like terrorists and terrorists fighting each other.
Oh, definitely. I mean, as long as you're willing to describe the government gang as terrorists.
I am willing.
And I think that is an accurate term. All you have to do is look up the definition of terrorism, and you'll find that it basically, I don't have it in front of me, but basically it means the use of violence or the threat of violence in order to achieve a political ends.
I mean, that's what they did at our house on March 16th, 2021.
That's all they ever do.
Yep.
That's their only job.
The threat of violence. That, what you're talking about at our house was actual use of violence. And you're talking about the Crypto 6 raids last year. That was actual violence. That was actual destruction of property. But they also have the threat of violence. And that's usually enough, right? Usually the threat of violence is enough to get people to file taxes. It's enough to get people to obey business regulations and things like that. But it is terrorism because people understand that at some level, men with guns are going to show up.
100%.
And they are going to ruin your life.
It's the only reason that anyone pays any taxes.
There are some true believers. There's a handful of them out there that
just think it's because they want to, or because they're do you think if the IRS ceased to exist tomorrow and all the IRS's cops had to go get real jobs, do you think those true believers would continue to pay the level? Because most of the people that I've seen who are all about I'm American and I pay my taxes gladly. I don't know what your problem is. I find them all to be upper middle class dirtballs.
Well, the ones that I've encountered are definitely like leftist people.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. I'm just going to go ahead and say there's probably somebody out there who would voluntarily cut a check to the federal government.
You know, I might even, if they made it voluntary, I wouldn't even be willing to.
Not if they're killing people.
I might send them $5 just as like a token gesture.
If they
That's
made
not enough to kill anybody.
It.
They spend thousands of dollars on a toilet seat or whatever. You know, $100,000 pack of pencils. You know, $5 isn't going to get them very far to killing people.
So
$100,000 pizza party.
So to go back to ISIS, they were the big bad for a number of years under Obama. I think it was primarily under Obama. And we covered, you know, how horrific some of these, I mean, these killings were absolutely disgusting. And some people said, oh, no, those are fake. And maybe there were some that were. Of course, it's very, very hard to tell. But some of it, there's no way it was fake. Some of those videos were very, very real and very disturbing and disgusting.
I don't watch any of them.
Me either. Why would I was just going to ask, why would you watch them?
Because they didn't want us to. Because the mainstream media would not cover it. The mainstream media would only say that the video existed.
Well, yeah, because they're not going to play it on Fox News at 9 a.m.
But they wouldn't link to it. And you had to really look.
Because it's horrible for people to see things like that.
I agree with you. It is absolutely horrible to see things like that.
So why do it to yourself?
Because I wanted to see what it was. I wanted to see if it was real.
You don't think they could fake that stuff? You don't think that could be pure Hollywood production?
Like I said, there were some theories that suggested that they were fake. And there were a couple of instances where I thought, okay, well, there was one in particular where they kept cutting away, which was unusual. Like, the knife blade would go up to the person's throat and they'd cut away. And then you'd see like the aftermath of it.
You mean cut away with the camera?
Yeah, the editing would cut away. The camera wouldn't pan away, but the edit, there would be a cut there.
That's weird.
Is what it's called. So they purposefully weren't showing the gore in that particular video. But others were very graphic, and there's like no doubt in my mind that those were absolutely real.
You could be making a faker really proud right now.
Maybe so. but one of them was like a whole crew of airmen or something like that that were all... their heads were severed at the exact same time. It was quite a display. There was another one where a guy was set on fire inside like a cage.
Ouch.
And that was pretty brutal. And I mean, some of it I did look away when it came to actually like watching it, quote unquote. But I wanted to see what they didn't want us to see so I could judge for myself. I wasn't just going to rely on the mainstream media deciding, oh, this is a real thing. Here's what we saw. I didn't want to just rely on somebody else's opinion in the same way that I don't want to rely on the mainstream media covering COVID, or I don't want to rely on the mainstream media covering the trucker convoy in Canada right now. I wanted to rely on myself. And since no one was actually linking to these videos, I wanted to play it and listen to what they were saying.
Did you play them on the air?
Yeah, we played the actual videos on the air. Some of them had English, right? So they had, there was this guy that they had, what was his name? John somebody. They had captured this photojournalist at one point, and he's never turned up dead since then, at least not the last time I looked him up. For a while, I could remember what his name was, and I'm sure I'll look for it and I'll pull it up again. But they captured this photojournalist, and they turned him into their spokesman. And it was really interesting because they would, like, initially they had him behind a desk and in an orange jumpsuit, and he would just kind of give the propaganda from their side of things.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. And then they actually like, let him out into the streets with a camera crew, and he'd walk you around and tour you around of, like, these bombed out husks of buildings and just kind of explain, you know, from their propaganda, their perspective, what things were like there on the ground. It was absolutely fascinating. And it was stuff that you could not find in the mainstream media. Mainstream media would only mention that these videos existed, but you could never actually, they would never link
to censorship.
Them. Yeah. So we had to look and look and look. We had to go to like obscure, crazy, you know, weird websites to finally uncover some of these videos. And then ISIS just kind of went completely off the radar, and now all of a sudden they're in the news again.
I think that they could fake a video like that, even because remember
like
in
what?
2018 when we were going to go to war with Syria possibly, and they were saying they're bombing their own people with gas, and they came out with videos of people. Those came out to be fake. Russia showed that those were fake. Mm.
Which video were you saying was fake?
It was like people walking down a whole city. Like, you would think that this would have had to have been filmed in Hollywood. Hmm. There was like a whole bunch of gas everywhere and people dying and babies crying on the ground dying and things like that.
There's more coming up. If you want to join us, 603-283-6160. Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us. I did look up, by the way, the name of the journalist that I could not recall. John Cantley is his name.
Spelled how?
C-A-N-T-L-I-E, like can't lie. Interestingly named.
I know tons of people with that last name.
Interestingly named for a man who ultimately ended up as, you know, not at his own choice, being the premier English-speaking propaganda piece for ISIS. So we can come back to that discussion, because apparently ISIS is back in the news, and both of you guys independently decided, you know, you guys both wanted to talk about this story. So we're going to get into that. First, I want to tell you about give.freetalklive.com. That'll take you over to the Give Directly website, which is a website that allows you to use Give Directly, the first nonprofit that allows you to give to people living in extreme poverty. They give these people cash, or what they call mobile money, which is the equivalent of cash over in Africa. Right now, Bemet, Khalifa counties in Kenya, we're raising money for people that are in dire need. They're extreme poverty. We're talking about people that have to walk for miles just to get water that they can actually drink. Give Directly has given over $400 million to over a million people in the last decade. So these people are helping folks with major positive changes like access to employment, nutrition, health, and education, and it lets the individual invest in what they need rather than allowing other people to decide for them. So if you support that and you want to give, please go to give.freetalklive.com. We will match your donations up to $30,000 in total. That's give.freetalklive.com. So Ian, Bonnie, and Matt in the studio here tonight. John Cantley was the man's name. And just a quick update, the latest, nothing has changed, apparently. We mentioned him a few years ago on the show, again, when the discussion, for whatever reason, came up. And I always think about John Cantley because he was just such a familiar face when it comes to what was happening there almost a decade ago. It's now been, I think it was 2012. When he was taken captive over there.
And what is the most recent story you've been able to find about him?
In 2019, there was an article in GQ magazine, which is a very detailed article about his kind of history in doing journalism over there and getting captured ultimately. And as the person who wrote that story did an update, actually just published yesterday, according to that guy, he says, all the evidence, as my GQ piece argued in 2019, suggests that Cantley died during the assault on the Islamic State in Mosul in northern Iraq in late 2016 or early 2017, possibly as a result of a coalition airstrike.
By who? Like
the coalition.
Who's that?
The U.S.,
the
British.
The good guys.
The Canadians. But the British government has argued as recently as 2019 that he may be alive. So there's no proof. They don't have a body. And if he died in airstrikes, he's probably not going to, you know, just not going to find one. Anyway, that's not what you guys wanted to talk about tonight. Just any discussion of ISIS and the sort of the history of it. And inevitably is going to lead to John Cantley, because he was just such a visible character in all of that. And the videos that he made, you know, that they made with him were very, very interesting. And you would not hear them played on mainstream media. And so, you know, we get the government's propaganda here. I wanted to hear what the propaganda was from ISIS. It's only fair.
We don't get other countries' propaganda that they send only to their countries, and it doesn't make me want to go watch their propaganda.
Well, actually, you can get that.
Well, yeah,
if you want.
You can now. You can go
RT.
On satellite radio and RT, but mm-hmm. it doesn't make me trust it anymore. I don't like any government.
That doesn't mean you
propaganda.
Have to trust it.
You know,
it just means you take different sources.
Doesn't make me want to go watch it either. Watch them kill people.
You know, one thing. I even as a young person, I was really oftentimes suspicious of. I think it was one of the first things that really made me suspicious of government is like they always showed pictures of Adolf Hitler throwing up his hands and screaming and or whatever you say, mm-hmm. but it's in German and you never found a translation for it. You know, mm-hmm. all we were told is that he hates Jews and killed a whole bunch of them, blah blah blah, and that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well. Okay, that is bad. So, but what did he say? And I could never really find any trend. Nowadays, with the internet, you can. Right. And they would show you pictures of Pol Pot, like, smoking a cigarette in the jungle, and he was all bad. And then it was Osama bin Laden, you know, crouching down, shooting an AK-47 in the desert, and he's bad. And
right, but if you actually listen to what Osama bin Laden says,
that has never been made extremely available.
No, and there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
The reason is because he calls out the American government as a bunch of hypocrites, and actually speak some real, like, truth.
What about Uncle Ted? We're told Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was this crazy wacko that was sending bombs to people. Well enough, but he wrote a manifesto. Mm-hmm. Be afraid of anyone who writes a manifesto.
But who's read it?
Go back and read that manifesto these mm-hmm. days. Whoa. Crystal ball.
But the all the people you guys are mentioning, they all also use violence against people. I just would rather ignore all governments and Ted Kaczynski's.
Sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think yeah, everybody's on the same page with that. I totally agree with that. Well said, actually. But if you read the Unabomber Manifesto, which we were all so, like, we were told, it's bad. Mm-hmm. Don't even look at it. You know, they printed it in the New York Times. But
it was pretty freedom-oriented, wasn't it? I have not read it personally, but I've heard clips.
And it was, there was a lot clips. Of warning in it as, you know, about, like he said, he had a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. Like, if you read what he said was going to happen, it's basically every word of it has already happened.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Bonnie, I wouldn't blame someone for wanting to avoid all government-related things entirely. That's what the average person does, and they stick with their own life, and they focus on their life, and they take care of their kids, and mm-hmm. they go to work, and they get the bills paid, and they watch their favorite television shows when they get home, and
yeah,
they crack open a beer.
I'm not the average person. The average person does that and then goes, all right, the federal government's bombing the bad guys. I got it. And without paying mm-hmm. attention. I just would rather not support any of them.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not saying it's not support to get the other side's opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think it's enough to be anti-war. I think you have to go further and try to understand the conflict. Like, mm-hmm. what is that guy's problem? And I'm not saying that to be offensive. I'm saying that because I want to understand that guy's problem.
Right.
Like, what is he on about? What's his big deal?
I wish it was easier to talk to just like the people of the whole country. Like, I want to know what the Russians on the ground are thinking, but how would I do that?
You mean over in the Ukraine?
Or the Ukrainian
situation?
Right now.
Well, you saw
like so
there was like a Ukrainian YouTube channel that you found.
Yeah, so I've been watching like real life Ukrainians, but they don't talk about that
stuff.
They
don't talk about the issues. So, but it is important, in my opinion, if you're going to be on the radio and you're going to be talking about these issues, to seek out the other side of it and to, at the very least, see what they have to say. So, anyway, what's the latest, you guys? Both of y'all brought this ISIS story in. Why are they back in the news? What does Joe Biden have to do with ISIS now?
So, I only brought this up for you, and I'm going to sound like, you guys are going to see a pattern developing with me as far as how much I believe things are actually happening, whether it's beheadings in the Middle East or, I think 99% of it's Hollywood-made propaganda. But on CNN Politics, I found a story from today. Tense moments in Situation Room as Biden oversaw raid on ISIS leader that was months in the making.
Mm.
Joe Biden can't oversee his own bathroom breaks.
There are rumors that he wears a diaper.
I would imagine he does. So, like, how true is what we're reading at all?
Well, I want to know more about it. Where was this raid? Was it in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria? Where are these guys based out of now? What's the detail? Are they once again whipping up ISIS as the new old boogeyman? So definitely want to get the details on it. And your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like your country no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where liberty-minded people can come together and leave government overreach behind? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. They start at FreePrivateCities.com and connect via the social media links shown there. All skills will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities open. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build FreePrivateCities.com. FreePrivateCities.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. You can bring up anything you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Matt.
By the way, I want to say thank you to Jonathan. He is a supporter of the Free Talk Live Amps Patreon. Jonathan is silver level, which means he's contributing at least $5 a month to AMPS, which you can do over at amps.freetalklive.com. They'll take you right to our Patreon. now with over 70 people supporting it. So thank you to the dozens who've made the switch, because we used to have the thing called the AMP program, but unfortunately our credit card provider decided they didn't want to do business with us anymore after more than a decade of it, no issues whatsoever. All of a sudden they canceled our account. And maybe the FBI had something to do with that.
The long arm in the law is sticking its hand in the wrong cookie jars.
Things that make you go, Well, anyway, we had to blow up the website as well at the same time because there was some technical issues. And so the old AMP program is gone. But some people haven't made the switch yet just because they had PayPal subscriptions, and those kind of just keep running until you cancel them. So appreciate the continued support from those numbers of people, but it would be great if you guys could make the switch over to Patreon when you get the chance. You get the extra perks. You like access to the AMP-only archives, which don't have the usual commercials that our normal podcast does. That's being served up through Patreon, so that's one of the things that you can't get anywhere else. So go to amps.freetalklive.com and do like Jonathan did and sign up for as little as $5 a month. amps.freetalklive.com. All right, so you guys both saw something in the news about ISIS. Apparently, there was some sort of a strike that Biden was overseeing on whatever the current ISIS supposed leader is. Of course, you know, they take one down and another one pops up right in his place.
Probably planned.
Yeah. But what is going on? What do we need to know?
Well, it was in Syria, and it was some, you know, some, I can't even say the names, but it's some hoop jack that's in charge of ISIS or whatever, who knows who he is. And
is he dead?
He's dead.
Okay.
Apparently, the house is in a shambles. It's a big cube-shaped, you know.
Because they always make a point of killing these guys rather than capturing them so they can actually speak out.
Right. But apparently the special forces, they sent in special forces instead of an airstrike because that was going to prevent major damage in case there were women and children around. So instead, they sent in special forces. And
since when do they care about that?
Right. Well, I think like a dozen women and children were killed anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm sure they all look the same to the special forces.
Yeah, well, if and, you know, we're supposed to feel sorry because there was the sight of a special forces helicopter having mechanical troubles on the ground, and as the house exploded from the inside. So what they're saying is the guy they were pursuing
blew
did
himself
a suicide
up.
Thing and blew up the place. And they were so excited to see, you know, tons of women and children running out of the main floor of the building unscathed and into the safe arms of the special forces. People, you know, it's all about heroism and so forth. And, you know, and CNN makes it a point to say that our president in the Situation Room, jacketless, looking on.
Oh, my like, God.
Oh, jacketless. I'm like, oh, my God. Come on.
My goodness.
Come on. The guy, like, he literally just took a dump in his drawers, you know, 15 minutes ago. He can't control.
Needs to air out.
They're trying to make it look like he's, you know, all serious about this.
This is not. Joe Biden has got to be one of the biggest cowards that the United States has ever produced.
Well, I mean, politicians, by their definition, tend to be cowards.
Absolute cowards.
Yeah.
Those FBI guys, absolute cowards. You know, they brought 30 of them.
At least.
30, at least. Cowards. Unbelievable. Low-life cowards. And they run the show, folks. They run your life, and you pay them.
Okay, so there was a raid on this guy. Biden was overseeing it. What do we need to know about this? Like, why is this in the news? Is it just to pump up Biden as this, you know, great leader against ISIS
now? You know, CNN, I'm going to read you the paragraph right here. This is the paragraph I was just talking about. And you tell me, it almost sounds so on display that it seems like they're almost taking a shot at Biden in a way. Like after those, they're talking about the missions from Donald Trump and, you know, Obama before him and so forth. Like after those missions, the White House has capitalized on the moment. They quickly released a photograph of a jacketless president in the Situation Room staring intently ahead as the raid unfolded. Biden emerged mid-morning to deliver a brief statement about the mission from the White House Roosevelt Room. This operation is a testament to America's reach and capability to take out terrorist threats no matter where they try to hide anywhere in the world.
Oh, you know he didn't say it like that. It was more rambling than that.
He said, issuing a message to terrorists who are still at large, we will come after you and find you.
Typical tough talk.
He's so brave, and I doubt he said that because he can't think.
He didn't write it. There's somebody no else wrote it
There's
for
no
him.
Way.
It's
There's
your
no
standard way. Tough talk government line of we're going to go get the terrorists. Mm-hmm. I mean, so the war on terror is still going.
Yep.
After two whole decades
yes.
now.
I never thought it would be. I mean, I remember playing Counter-Strike 1 and having mm-hmm. the acronym for the war against terror as my player name.
Twat.
Yes. Oh. and that was, you know, Counter-Strike, the original Counter-Strike in Team Fortress.
Wow.
So that was a long time ago. And
yeah.
here I am playing Damn. The best of the best, you know, Call of Duty, and we're still
same old, same old.
Can we keep our wars to the video games, please?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Okay, but I mean, was there anything else said about this that we should know?
I don't think.
Like, are they trying to pump up ISIS as? Ooh, they're taking over Syria, or like, you know, normally we're told to worry because ISIS is spreading, and the U.S. military needs to go in and needs to stop the spread.
Yeah, I really can't tell. It's like, I'm not sure what...
2 weeks to stop ISIS spreading.
We'll just social distance ISIS. And which is true, that'll work. If you just stay away from them, they'll go away.
Well, certainly they wouldn't be a problem for the United States if they would just pull the United States troops out and bring them home.
They'd probably be a lot less of a problem. They wouldn't have grown so much in the last 20 years if we just stayed out of it to begin with. I'm sure
Absolutely.
We've given them plenty of weapons.
Well, that's definitely true. I mean, because remember, the Taliban picked up like billions of dollars worth of weapons when the U.S. left Afghanistan.
Them.
And you better believe some of that's going to make its way to ISIS.
Yeah, there's guys, you know... Taliban fighters standing around in the latest, you know, multi-cam
Top gear.
Yeah, all cry precision and, you know.
They got helicopters, man. They got helicopters out of that deal.
Yeah, the good stuff.
That's why I was saying that earlier about you watching the video and me saying that I wouldn't want to watch any propaganda from any government. I just think that they're all working together. Pretty sure Russia's not really against Biden. They're just together working to create wars that are internal. That's how they make money.
Well, I mean, certainly it does benefit them to have wars as far as their buddies benefit, as far as the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, war is the health of the state.
But at the same time, the people who seek power, I don't buy that they all like each other or that they all get along or are working together.
I don't think it's like Joe Biden and Putin that's actually in charge. Those are the puppets. Mm-hmm. The people behind the scenes are actually together. No one can just rule the whole world. They just have their own little sections and they have continuous wars because it makes each country money, government money.
Mm-hmm. Well, the government can print money, so they don't have to... They don't make money off of the wars. They print money, and then their buddies in the industry get that money.
Yeah.
So their friends are making money. And I see what you're saying about, you know, whoever it is that's pulling the strings behind the scenes. But again, I just don't buy, just out of human nature being so competitive, I just don't buy that they're all working together or that they all like each other or that they all get along. It doesn't jibe with the way, you know, humans are. So there's probably some Rothschild types in Europe. And then there's the equivalent of the Rothschild types, like the ultra elites, you know, puppet master types that are in Asia. And there's probably those types of people in Africa. And, you know, there's probably different groups of them that do have disagreements and, you know, fights between one another. Whether it's, you know, it's hard to say.
I mean,
we don't know.
I guess there's no way to know.
Hidden.
But one thing we do know is that the wars keep going and they're not going anywhere towards peace on purpose.
Yeah, no, mafias don't do that.
That's true.
These are just mafias.
Exactly. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever's on your mind, whether you want to comment on ISIS, or we're going to get into an update from last week with those gun accessories. Free Talk Live phones are open. If you want to join the show, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. A huge block of gold showed up at Central Park. We're talking about like $11 million worth of gold. 400 pounds of gold.
That's nuts.
and it's an art exhibit.
What?
We'll tell you about that on the way. That's coming up tonight. Ian, Bonnie, and Matt are in the studio here. And again, the number is 603-283-6160. But we're also going to talk about a different kind of art. And Matt, you've got a story about that. But first, I want to let you know about news.bitcoin.com. You want the latest news headlines about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and cryptocurrency in general? Get on over to news.bitcoin.com. You will find them there every single day, updated. Very, very informative website. Lots of good info. Check it out at news.bitcoin.com. If you're brand new to crypto, however, get over to bitcoin.com and click Get Started at the top of the page, and you can learn the basics about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin Cash over at bitcoin.com. Just click Get Started. So, Matt, last week you had an interesting story about these lightning links, and I want you to redescribe for our listeners who might not have been listening at that time, what is a lightning link?
Okay, so what we were talking about last week was actually forced reset triggers. Forced reset triggers, the ATF, a forced reset trigger is a trigger you can get for an AR-15 that basically forces your finger forward. So unlike a fully automatic weapon, which is a heavily controlled object by the federal government, a fully automatic weapon, you pull the trigger and hold it and it keeps shooting.
Right.
With a forced reset trigger, it's not doing that. You pull the trigger and the trigger forces your trigger finger forward, and then you're pulling on it still, so it acts a little bit differently. It's what would be called, we refer to that as a bump fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do the same thing by, you know, hooking your thumb through your belt loop with the in front of the trigger and just let the recoil bump the trigger on and off, on and off, on
it's
and
not
off.
Very accurate to fire,
no,
that way.
Horrible.
Wait, I'm confused. Your belt loop. So you would have your finger through your belt loop,
yeah,
and
so you
pulling
take
your gun?
You hold your gun at your side. You take your thumb and you stick it through the trigger guard and hook your belt loop on the other side. And then you pull the gun forward and it goes bang, 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 bang. Like your thumb, the back of your thumb bounces off the
trigger.
But
then you're shooting very wrong, like not up here.
Totally, exactly.
Oh, you're just spraying bullets.
It's spraying bullets. It's goofing off. It's making, you know, fast noise and it's fun. It's
don't even need to use a belt loop. You can just pull the gun forward and keep your fingers steady.
If you're good enough at it, you can do it. There's another thing they banned, these things called bump stocks that serve the same exact purpose. Now there's this thing called a forced reset trigger, and there's a couple companies that make them. The one that invented it, I believe, is Rare Breed. It's called Rare Breed Triggers. They're not cheap. They're like $400, $500
just a piece of metal.
Yeah, just for the trigger. So
nuts.
I mean, I buy expensive triggers for my AR-15s. I buy Geissele's, and they're, you know, $230, but they're real semi-automatic triggers. They're great triggers. These things are... It's a forced reset trigger, so it's keeping you in semi-auto, but it's forcing your finger forward as you're pulling against it, so it resets itself, and it shoots at a full auto rate, basically, but it's technically still a semi-automatic firearm.
It's a workaround.
There's nothing illegal. It's a workaround.
Mm-hmm. But the news last week was that the ATF was going to go ahead and raid.
Going after people, and you wanted me last week to report to us this week whether or not any raids had actually occurred. Yes. There's a large online... weapons accessories dealer called Big Daddy Unlimited, and Big Daddy Unlimited had $6,000 worth of forced reset triggers confiscated this week. So that,
is that just, do they just have one location, like one warehouse?
Well, yeah, I think they just have the one warehouse.
So $6,000 is only like 10 of them.
Yeah, basically. It's probably what the inventory that they had on hand, right?
Wow.
So
were they arrested or just confiscated?
They were confiscated.
Okay,
just,
so no charges yet?
No, Big Daddy Unlimited is like a Walmart of gun stuff. So it's a giant business. So it's not like, you know, you're just going to go start making arrests on people. And they were obviously going to immediately comply and be very dutiful in their compliance. And so, because, you know, once the word's on the street from the ATF, you can't just go sending those things to the mail and keep them on the website, add to cart, you know.
Right.
So that would be weird. So, I mean, it would be great, but it would be not what most people would do who are in the business of selling firearms. Licenses tend to get pulled and things like that when you do that kind of thing against the your masters. So, but I also talked last week about how there used to be also these things called lightning links. And a lightning link was a little block of metal and a strap of, you know, the best way to describe it would be like somewhere between a paperclip and a pop top from a soda can. And it would basically force reset the sear and inside the AR-15 when you're shooting it, making it legitimately full auto, so you could just keep your finger pulled back on the trigger and it would stay pulled back, not push forward on you, and you would have a full auto weapon. Those were sold in magazines for, I don't know, $18 back in the day.
Right.
You could order, you know, they're just little stamped out pieces of metal. And what happened was they banned those and they declared...
Made it into a felony, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, they banned them. And they actually declared the Lightning Link itself a machine gun.
It's insane.
So, you know, imagine someone declaring a paperclip a machine gun or a bent-up coat hanger a machine gun.
You know, it's just crazy. It can make a gun semi-automatic, like you said, but it's not a machine gun. It's not a gun. How
right.
can they
it's
say
not,
that?
It takes a semi-automatic and makes it fire like an automatic.
Into a fully automatic. Yeah, right. The other way around. But yeah, you're right. It's ridiculous. It's not a gun. In New York State, they consider any magazine over 10 rounds to be a gun, an assault weapon.
That's just misusing the English language.
It's not English once it's in the
legalese.
Laws. Yeah. And it's legalese,
yes,
and they
legalese.
Can define things however they want.
Right.
But so that's a recap of what we talked about last week.
That's what we talked about last week. And to answer your question, yes, there was a major confiscation. They invaded Big Daddy Unlimited and told them to hand over all their FRTs, and they did. More has happened.
There's Lightning Link news.
There's Lightning Link news, specifically Lightning Link news, or... Not really, actually, in a way, because the fans of CRS Firearms on YouTube, if you're into guns, you've never been to CRS Firearms, it's basically a young weapons guy. He's a dealer. He's got an FFL03 or FFL01, and he'll do your transfer and sell you guns and whatever you want. Just he's got a little shoppy side hustle, I think. And he's a great guy. He'll stand in front of his camera on YouTube and gripe about the law and the ATF and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And he draws attention to himself. He's got a bunch of viewers. His name's Matt Hoover in real life. And he seems to be, for all intents and purposes, a great guy. Family man, young guy. And he was arrested this week because apparently about a year ago or so, he was selling these sheet metal cards about the size of, you know, maybe a little bigger than a credit card. And on the sheet metal cards were drawn pictures of Lightning Links. There was three on each card, back to back to back, like stacked on top of each other. If you were to take a Dremel tool and follow the dotted line, you would have a Lightning Link.
Which,
that's
according
ridiculous.
To the...
Anybody who Google images a picture of a Lightning Link could just... figure it out themselves and Dremel.
They sure could.
That's ridiculous that he got arrested for that.
I mean, one of my Facebook timeline covers is actually an AR-15 lower with an extra hole drilled in it, and it shows the size of the hole that needs to be drilled and the distance from the edge of the metal. And so, I mean, you could go print off my timeline cover and find out how to drill the third hole in an AR-15 lower to make it into an M16 lower, you know? But, yeah, so are they going to arrest me for, giving out pictures of... You know, I post it as my timeline cover, so therefore I'm...
That's just the thing.
Trafficking and...
If they do, yes. The answer is, Matt, yeah.
They could
arrest you for that.
And they're lunatics. They might.
If they can arrest him for this, they can certainly arrest you for that. And here's the thing. This is clearly a free speech issue.
Absolutely. That's a drawing.
This is a drawing. This is a plan. This is just like the 3D printing gun, like the 3D printed guns, right? The plans for the 3D printed gun.
It's decoration on a... sheet metal.
Yeah. And so they've gone after Cody Wilson in Austin over being the guy behind Defense Distributed, which has for years now provided people with the tools and the schematics, the 3D schematics, to be able to print and to put together your own gun. But he's not selling people guns. He's just giving away information. In fact, I think he just gives it away. I don't think he even sells that stuff.
Wow.
He'll sell you the tools, the physical machine, the ghost gunner.
Yeah, well, all the files are open source.
Right, the information he's just putting out there on the internet.
But maybe somehow that is the reason that Cody Wilson doesn't get arrested for putting out the pictures and this guy...
Well, no, they prosecuted him civilly. They haven't gone with criminal prosecutions. This is criminal in this particular case.
But maybe it's criminal because he's making money. Like, maybe that's what they're trying to say. I'm not saying it makes sense.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the charges yet. And we can talk about that coming up here in a moment. But the point is, if this guy lawyers up, pays $60,000 or $100,000 or whatever for an attorney.
He's looking for $500,000 on GoFundMe. He's up to $122,000 so far.
I hope they don't take down his fundraiser.
Yeah,
like they're freezing the truckers out, by the way. That's another thing that's in the news.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about this coming up in hour number two and what this all means. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. The phones are open for you. If you want to join us here, we're kicking off the second hour. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about an artist who has been arrested.
The artiste.
For putting out some metal cards with drawings on them.
Yeah, his name's Matt Hoover. Yeah. And Matt Hoover has a YouTube channel called CRS Firearms. And he also had a website called, I can't remember what it's called, I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter because if you go there now, it says ATF property.
Oof.
Yeah. So,
wow, they stole his website too.
They stole his website, yeah.
His website is now ATF property.
Yeah, you go to his former website and it now says ATF.
In case this wasn't clear that it was an attack on his freedom of speech. They took his website.
Correct.
I've never seen anything like that. Just pops up ATF property. Why wouldn't they just leave it blank?
Well, it's not ATF, but whenever they take down darknet marketplace sites, it always has a bunch of law enforcement logos. They just replace the homepage with it. It's just a brag. It's just a big, look what we did. Yep. It's the internet equivalent of, the old classic photo of the cops around a table with a bunch of drugs on it where they're all giving the thumbs up or whatever,
here it
looking
says,
badass?
Seized website.
Yeah.
Yep. Autokeycards.com. If you go to autokeycards.com,
then they're going to log your IP address if you do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You better believe it.
You probably already got mine anyway. Tampa Field Division, it says.
So this is their big, this is their way of internet show off. Look what we did.
They're throwing their muscle around. They're so tough.
But so this guy printed these cards with drawings on them.
Yes.
That if someone were to take, you said a Dremel or something like that, and essentially, cut this card along the drawing, then they would have one of these what's called lightning links that could then be used to drop into a semi-automatic rifle and turn it into the equivalent of
a fully automatic rifle. Yeah. And I was wrong on the prices, by the way, the values. I just went on GunBroker and searched the latest registered, the legal ones that were registered before they banned them
decades
back
ago,
in 1985 or whatever. And apparently there's one registered drop-in auto sear on there, RDIAS, which was $38,000.
$38,000. For a piece of metal.
It is a little hunk of metal. Think of three or four quarters stacked on top of each other. That's about how big it is.
That comes with paperwork showing it's quote-unquote legal through the ATF.
Yeah, you gotta jump through a lot of hoops and have a lot of money in order to have that. And if you could just throw the $40,000 away tomorrow, you might be able to go pick it up at your local machine gun dealer a year from now or more.
So insane.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are technically still legal, why did he get arrested for selling these drawings of them?
Because any of those that have been made after 1986 are illegal.
Oh, okay.
The ones that were made before 1986 are grandfathered. And you can only part of the deal was when they banned them, you had to register them all as machine guns.
Hmm.
So you'd have to go through the legal, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people
pay the taxes.
Yeah, a lot of people just got afraid and threw them in the garbage. Some people, I'm sure a lot of people just buried them in the backyard or whatever, for a rainy day. But they're literally just little. I wouldn't pay more than $1.50. You know, they should sell those things. You know, those candy buckets on the countertop at like the store, and they have like gumballs in them or
sure.
fireballs. That's how those should be sold at the gun
just
store.
Just grab a few.
Yeah. You know, $2 a piece, you right. know, it doubles as a cool keychain. That's right. how those should be sold.
But the ATF is insane, and they are now going to try to ruin this man's life. He is apparently out of Wisconsin, named Matthew Hoover.
Yep.
And according to the story here at Jacksonville.com, they had filed a similar charges against another guy, Christopher Irvin of Orange Park in, I guess, in Florida. And they filed that last year. So in the spring of 2021, they've now updated that indictment and added Matthew Hoover to it. Mm-hmm. And they claim that investigators probe of his online sale of credit card-sized metal strips under the name Auto Key Card. The 17-count indictment says Irvin's sales took off because of publicity he received from Hoover. So Irvin, I guess, is the guy maybe who's making these
yeah,
cards?
Yeah, I guess so.
And Hoover publicized it on his YouTube channel, which has about 134,000 subscribers. The indictment lists 10 dates between November and February when it says Hoover promoted Irvin's product in videos and referred to AutoKeyCard.com as the video's sponsor. Quote, Mr. Irvin was paying Mr. Hoover for the advertisements, said the U.S. attorney Laura Kofer-Taylor in a told a judge in Milwaukee Friday. The indictment identifies Hoover as operating Coloma Resale, a store which is a federally licensed firearms dealer. But in court, attorneys said much of Hoover's income comes from his YouTube postings. The decisions to charge Hoover inflamed gun rights supporters, who by Monday had contributed about $110,000 through 2,700 donations to a GoFundMe page to cover his legal costs.
I helped.
Excellent. Quote, this really is a travesty of justice, and it shows that tyranny is alive and well in the country. As though you needed more examples
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, just the ATF existing is proof of that. They're unelected yeah. people who are literally going after people who are drawing pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Supporters cast Thursday's fundraising effort as a step toward protecting gun rights guaranteed under the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment. One viewer wrote, I've donated and I don't really care for Matt. Something needs to be done about this out-of-control government agency. This goes beyond personal feelings, and every Second Amendment supporter should also donate.
What, is he like his neighbor who he wants to cut like branches off his tree or something?
Who knows?
Fortunately for him, at least, he was released on condition. So he is out on bail already, unlike Nobody, who is our co-host, who had to spend 6 months in jail for Bitcoin-related allegations. There's a little bit of good news. We may be having Nobody back on the air soon. There was a bit of a development.
That's awesome. You know he misses it.
Yeah, I miss him too. But during the hearing Friday, the U.S. attorney told the judge, or the magistrate in this case, that Hoover has been important for spreading awareness of auto key card products. Let's see, auto key card.
Is that a crime?
Yeah, I mean, are they even saying this guy was selling them? He's just promoting it. I mean, what are the allegations here? I'll have to pull up the indictment. I am curious to see what they've hit him. I'm guessing it's conspiracy.
Probably. Yeah, probably something along those lines. But you know how they do things, too. They just start stacking on made-up stuff so that they're hoping anything will stick. You know,
that's what they're doing in our case.
The ATF, the government is anti-American, probably especially the ATF.
They're certainly anti-gun and anti-freedom.
Definitely, absolutely.
So, but this comes back around to what I was saying before is, yes, they could absolutely go after you, Matt. They could go after us for this. Oh, you guys mentioned their website on the radio. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting paid
spreading
to
awareness.
Do it. Right, we're not getting paid to do it. But
let's take it up a notch. Let's plug his GoFundMe. CRS Matt Hoover needs our help is
that's
what it's called.
Yep. And it's still up. It's not
still up.
Okay, that's good.
They're up to $122,315 and they're looking for $500,000. They've got 3,000 donors.
Here's why they can. You said, can they arrest me for, you know, promoting this or talking about it or whatever? Or even if you were selling them. Yeah, they absolutely can. Even though it's probably illegal what they're doing, because free speech says you can draw a thing and sell the drawing of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
the illegal quote-unquote act would be cutting the thing out and possessing that thing.
Yep.
But they're going as far as they can. They're pushing as far. They're pushing the envelope as far as they can. And even if they lose this, this dude's still going to be out $500,000 or whatever on attorneys. He's going to be out the years that it's going to take to get through. I mean, the Crypto 6 case, it's been almost an entire year since the FBI and the ATF and the Postal Service and these other agencies raided this house. I've been on bail conditions for almost a year, not quite, the majority of the year. Nobody's been out since September. He's been on very restrictive bail since then. We've had our lives highly upended and, you know, I mean, they didn't kill any of us, thank goodness. They didn't shoot the dog. But we can't do all the things that we could do before. We don't have the same freedoms. We can't even spend cryptocurrency now. But if they drop our charges later, or when they drop our charges later.
High five.
Or when they lose this guy's case. When they lose the case. He doesn't get his years back.
No. Or and, his stress, his gray hair doesn't go away. His
nothing.
Kids,
you get
his
nothing.
Kids, they're all freaked out about it, you know.
You'd be lucky to get the attorney's costs covered after the fact. So there's no punishment for the ATF for doing this.
None.
They can just go around and do whatever they want. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind here. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about a yet another disturbing, outrageous violation of the right to free speech, which has been pretty clearly established. I mean, we've talked recently about how in Australia and New Zealand, they don't have constitutions, like we do. They don't have a Bill of Rights there. The government there can do, you know, pretty much anything that they want. And at least here, they have to pay at least some lip service to the idea of free speech. So, you know, every now and then, the court system will have to rule in favor of freedom of speech. They don't want to, but it's pretty clear. I mean, the First Amendment's written in easily understandable language. You do have the right to freedom of speech, generally.
And then they put the Second Amendment after the First Amendment to make a point.
And what point? What point was that?
If somebody tries to prevent you from having free speech, see Amendment 2.
Right. So
I don't think that was an accident.
By the way, I do want to make sure you know about freetalklive.com. We like freedom of speech over at freetalklive.com, and that is where you have the ability to express yourself on our social media website over at social.freetalklive.com. You can go there and create an account, and you can express yourself without having some big tech conglomerate like Facebook or Twitter stop you from doing that. So please go to social.freetalklive.com. So we're talking about freedom of speech in a case that was just, I guess, updated as they arrested another individual to be added to this case in regards to what was called, what the hell was the website again?
AutoKeyCards.
AutoKeyCard and AutoKeyCards. So the plural and singular version were both owned by a gentleman named Irvin, Christopher Justin Boyer Irvin from Florida. And so he was charged last year. They've now updated that indictment and it added a Matthew Raymond Hoover from Wisconsin, who is a YouTuber with over 100,000 viewers on his channel. Not too shabby at all. And that apparently they had some sort of an arrangement wherein Hoover was promoting the AutoKeyCard website and the AutoKeyCard product on his YouTube channel. And according to the ATF, that means that he was part of a conspiracy.
It's really their conspiracies. It's always the government that has a conspiracy that people are out to get them, and then they charge the people with conspiracy.
Few things are as dangerous as paranoid bureaucrats.
Yeah, you make a good point there, Bonnie, that this is absolutely paranoid government people who are worried about their precious power. They actually use the term here, as you said earlier, Matt, they consider these things, these tiny little pieces of steel, to be machine guns. They say, they call them, constituted as machine guns? Conversion devices constituting machine guns. Quote unquote. Oh, there's another word. Machine gun conversion devices constituting machine guns are what they call these things legally. And they're saying that having a printed card with an outline of what one of these things would look like, should you cut it out from that card, the metal card, is a crime. They're saying that's a crime.
As soon as these go back on sale, I thought they were dumb. Like, I personally don't like automatic weapons because for no other reason, they eat a lot.
They eat a lot of ammo and they're not that
accurate,
right?
It's expensive to shoot them. You know, they're toys. Even in a theater of war, in my opinion, a full auto really isn't all
that
necessary,
useful.
You know. But that said, if when these go back on sale, and I'm saying when these go back on sale, I'm buying one to scrape my windshield with.
Or frame it and just put it up on the wall. Right?
Maybe I'll have several. I'll give them out to my friends.
They actually look like that. You could open beer with them.
Sure. I bet you could.
There should be a bottle opener version of them.
So I'm looking at this indictment here. The article that I'd had, the Jacksonville.com article, says they got a link to it, but it's a dead link. So I had to go looking around, and somebody on a Reddit thread has it, and it's not really clear what these charges are. There are 17 quote-unquote counts, but it doesn't list what the thing is that the count is. Is it 17 conspiracy counts? I'm still not really clear on this, and it's a 20-page indictment, so obviously I haven't had a chance to to look in detail at this. But to go back to the story here, was there anything that you had as far as, did you have a news item, or were you just generally kind of talking about this?
I was just, it was something I was following the other day. You know, it all came down, and I have more ATF stuff tonight too, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's been a busy week in gun world as far as legal stuff goes.
This one is an outrage, though, and according to the story here at Jacksonville.com, the 17-count indictment says Urban Sales took off because of the publicity that he received from Hoover, who regularly posts on his YouTube channel about this. And then they say, that he was being arrested Thursday, so I guess today. Was that today? Or no, last week. Yeah, last week. So it was after a hearing on Friday that a federal magistrate ordered him released on the conditions that he wouldn't have contact with witnesses from his case or promote auto key card silencers or legally questionable firearm products in his videos while his case was pending. Has he made a video since?
There is no legal definition of legally questionable firearms.
Yeah, it's super subjective. Yeah, but no, he hasn't, to my knowledge, he has not spoken publicly yet. His wife has, a bunch of his friends have. They've gone on his channel and, done kind of Q&A live things on his channel and things like that. And a bunch of other gun channels have, opened up and, not everybody likes this guy, but even the ones who don't like him have stepped up and said, this is
crazy.
Lunacy.
Why is this guy such a polarizing figure as far as people liking him?
He's he's kind of a good old boy down home, and that doesn't settle.
Everybody
totally the same with everybody.
That's just the way it is, Bonnie.
It's just weird that it's been brought up so many times in this specific case. I don't know.
Anytime you are a personality that's public, you're going to have haters.
And he's got a big mouth.
Yeah. If you've got an opinion, if you have an opinion,
even people
you're gonna have haters.
Should support you might not necessarily because they don't like that you have a big mouth.
The items held 1 to 3 etchings, each the same pattern. So they sold different size versions of this. Court filing said an ATF agent used a Dremel cutting tool to follow the pattern and cut from the metal an item that he inserted into a semi-automatic rifle to enable him to fire the weapon fully automatic with just a pull of the trigger. Sold without any government licenses, the items created the potential of owning a fully automatic firearm without the regulation and expense.
I'm sorry. If I trained my finger to be really strong and flexible, would it be considered a machine gun?
No.
If I could just do it faster than anyone else?
No, you would not. That's been asked. But did you just say, Ian, that an ATF agent did, in fact, cut one of these things out?
He did.
It worked? Okay, so he committed a felony.
No, not when he's working for the government.
Oh.
Then they're exempt. They're exempt.
Oh, so he doesn't belong in jail for 10 years?
No. Haven't you ever read the statutes? They always exempt government agents from these things.
Oh.
Yeah. They're
maybe
special.
We should all become government agents.
No. That sounds really distasteful.
I mean, we just don't have to go to work every day or ever.
Sold without these licenses, they create the potential. Taylor said the judge, one. So, then they give an example of how much these things sell for. So $15,000. Is one example of them if it's the licensed, regulated
version
of it.
We wouldn't pass any background tests to get into a government position.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Bonnie, said John Wilkes Booth.
There's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. This is a clear free speech case. They're now outlawing art. This is Free Talk Live. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 27th through July 3rd for the 6th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out for the first time in 2021. ForkFest takes place the week after ForkFest, but ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 27th through July 3rd. There's no better place to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. ForkFest.party. It's Free Talk Live. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's just some crazy, crazy stuff here in this case. They are coming, like you said, Matt, they're coming at these guys with everything they possibly can. I was just looking through this indictment. For whatever reason, it does not list the charges on the indictment. You kind of have to look at the code and look it up and see what it says. But we're talking about this case with these with this artwork of lightning links, these little metal pieces that, if you have one of them and it's not registered with the government from the early 1980s or 70s or something like that, then it's a illegal machine gun. In their mind, and you will go to prison. But these guys aren't selling lightning links. They were selling, through their website,
pictures of them
on metal cards. And the ATF is now coming after them with 17 counts. And it's just absolutely outrageous. They're saying that there's 6 counts in here that they aided and abetted the transfer of firearms, that is, quote unquote, machine gun conversion devices constituting machine guns. Wow. And then they mention specifically via U.S. mail to a person with the initials J.A. And so then there's another one with the initials R.D. So they looked through, you know, they were watching them or watching the mail, or maybe they found their sales records. And I would hope this guy didn't keep all his sales records, because, you know, they're coming after all the customers.
Probably.
Next. But if they didn't keep the sales records, then probably most of the customers are safe. But in this case, they were at least able to identify 6 of them. Mm. And each one of those sales is a count in this particular document. So that's what we're talking about right now.
So how much time is he facing?
I'm guessing these are all felonies.
They're trying to consider each one an illegal machine gun. Mm. So who knows how many they sold, because each one of those cards has several, you know, 1, 2, or 3 different, cutoutable pieces on it. So, I don't know, selling an illegal machine gun, I don't know what the penalty is for selling an illegal machine gun. I imagine it's real stiff, though.
Me too.
Here's one that they threw in. They are alleging that they are looking to avoid the currency transaction reports, whatever that particular charge is. Again, they don't list the charges, but here's what count 8 is. Christopher Irvin, so they're not saying, I guess it was the other guy, Hoover. So Irvin's got some of the counts alone in this, and then Hoover has some of them. So just to be clear, let's see, I'm not sure how many of them Hoover's on. Hoover is apparently on the majority of them, but there's a few that he's not on. So one of the things they went after Irvin for Quote, knowingly and for the purpose of evading the reporting requirements of 31 USC 5313 and the regulations promulgated pursuant, therefore, or thereunder with respect to currency transactions in excess of $10,000 caused and attempted to cause a domestic financial institution to fail to file a report required under that section of code and any regulation prescribed under any such section by conducting the following transactions, each being a cash withdrawal at a federally insured financial institution. And then they list a series of, $9,000 and $5,000 at the Community First Credit Union. And then there's another, there's several more counts. Counts 9 through 14. So they've got several more counts here where they're saying, again, for the purpose of evading the reporting requirements of doing over $10,000, the dude made several cash withdrawals at the same credit union and several $9,000 withdrawals. So there's six $9,000 withdrawals. They're hitting him with one count for each time that he went to the bank and pulled out $9,000.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
They're so weird.
So some of these are gun related. Some of these are, all right, well, he went to the bank and pulled out $9,000. So therefore, he knows about the federal reporting requirements. Therefore, he's trying to avoid them. Therefore, you've been charged with a criminal act.
That is so strange. That? Like, that would be charging somebody for a criminal act by doing what you can to obey the law.
Yeah, I mean, I see that interpretation of it, Matt.
He's following the law.
Yeah. Or what if it's just completely the fact that he needed $9,000 each time and it has nothing to do with the tax? I mean, how can they prove it one way or the other?
They're going to prove it by the circumstance, right? So it was in a row, basically, December 29th, 30th, 31st, January 2nd, January 5th, January 6th. So he basically went in, you know, every single day for a series of days and pulled out $9,000.
One day he woke up and realized, I need $9,000 more for this other thing. Dang it. How can you prove it one way or the other? You can't.
I get what you're saying. They're going to say, look, this guy knew. And so, it's clear that he knew. That's why he did $9,000 withdrawals.
It's not clear. You have to know in order to put somebody in jail.
Well, that's true. It does say knowingly, and that will be the element that they have to somehow prove. Yeah. So you're right. You're absolutely right about this, Bonnie. But again, it's hard to trust a jury is going to do the right thing in a federal case, which is what they're doing. They're throwing all the charges they can.
Yeah. I've got more ATF news from this week. And this
great.
This is hilarious.
Is it?
It's scary. And it's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, this story is scary because this is actually an attack on freedom of speech.
Okay, well, here's the ATF setting itself up for success in many other dastardly ways.
Okay.
So, Congressman from Texas, Michael Cloud, he got the ATF in front of him, and he asked them what the deal was with their records keeping. Because the ATF is not allowed to keep a registry of firearms, right? Other than the fully automatics, which is arguably also illegal.
Let me see if I'm following you here. You're saying that when somebody goes and buys a gun,
correct,
and the form that they fill out that's sent to the ATF for them to look
to the ATF.
Who's that sent to?
It's kept with the gun dealer for 20 years.
Okay, so who's being looked at? They look up the person, right? So like when you fill out that form,
correct,
that's being checked by some government agency.
You're getting background checked, but no record of that is allowed to be kept.
But let me just clarify. So when you say you're getting background checked, mm-hmm, is that being checked with the ATF?
Yes.
So that data is being transmitted to them.
All it is your name, and basically they're trying to find out if you've got a record or not. If you don't have a record, if you don't have a felony, then...
So hold on. Let me... Because I've never gone through this process before.
Okay.
I've never purchased a gun through brand new channels.
Okay.
I've always bought them from, you know, friends privately, which is, as I understand it, completely legal here in New Hampshire, as long as the person knows you. Mm-hmm. So when you buy a brand new weapon, there's a form. I presume the ATF is creator of that form.
Correct.
Correct. So the ATF came up with a form. You gotta have that filled out. It's gotta have your name on it. It's gotta have your date of birth on it. It's gotta have the type of gun, right? Or doesn't it?
Nope. No. It does not. Nope.
No.
Nope.
So they don't know what kind of gun you're trying to buy.
Correct.
They just know you're trying to buy a gun, and then that goes That data is transmitted to the ATF, but you're saying the form itself isn't sent to them?
Correct.
Just some of the entries on the form?
So are they allowed to store the data of the fact that you got background tested for gun purchase?
I believe they are not allowed to. I don't think that's anything that's kept record of. Who knows if they actually are or not. Yeah. But,
Isn't that what you're saying they're doing now?
Here's the thing. Let's walk through this in the beginning.
All right.
So when you buy a gun, you fill out what's called a 4473. You go into a gun shop, sporting goods store, you buy a gun, you fill out a form called a 4473.
Okay.
4473 asks you if you're a wife beater. It asks you if you're addicted to drugs. It asks you if you've ever renounced your citizenship, and a few other questions. And it has your name on it, social security number, and it goes, you hand it to the gun shop owner or personnel member, and they call the ATF. They read your driver's license and the matching information you put on the...
There's not an online form. They actually have to call it in.
They call it in, and then they usually hang up the phone. 15 minutes later or so, the ATF calls back and says, yep, he's good to go. Give him his gun.
It's that fast in most cases?
Depends on how busy it is.
All right, let's talk more about this, because somehow they're creating a database from this information and they're not supposed to.
We'll get into it.
603-283-6160. You're invited. You can join us here. Take control of the airwaves on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Matt.
We're talking about some outrageous cases in regards to the ATF and what sort of skullduggery and violations of your rights that they are involved in. Because remember, if they're violating one person's rights, they can do it to you.
Yep.
They just haven't gotten around to you yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these people need to be stood up for. They need to have some good defense attorneys in these cases. So we're not going to continue on the story about Irvin and Hoover, the guys that were promoting the artwork that had been arrested for selling and promoting artwork on the internet of the lightning links. Mm-hmm. But Matt, you've got another story. We're going to get into it here, but I do want to get Sarah on the line. She's waiting patiently here in New Mexico.
We need some essential oils.
Sarah, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I just want to bring up that about the dirty water that a lot of people drink around the world and they get ill.
Mm-hmm.
So they, and of course, the Joyce Meyer Ministry, if you want to, her ministry helps dig up wells. So what's really interesting is that they walk like several miles every day getting water, and then they get sick from it. But the thing is, if they dig down under exactly where they live, they would hit an aquifer enough to get a well. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty pathetic. And I just wonder how much those water wells would cost to dig one for a village.
That's a good question. Yeah,
Give Directly does the same thing. They give people money, and they've used it to build wells, right?
It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm not sure, Bonnie. I don't know what all the stories are. I mean, they've given people over $400 million, mostly, from what I understand, in very poor parts of Africa. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's much more than a few grand.
And I bet it'd be cheaper in a poor country.
It probably is. Yeah, it's a good point. But you're talking about something that can make a huge difference in people's lives, and it's a relatively small investment. But if they don't got it, they don't got it. And that means somebody's got to give it to them.
I don't think Matt was on. Matt, were you on when she called about Joyce Meyer's ministry last time?
I don't think so.
Yeah, she is a socialist, a communist, but she likes Joyce Meyer, who is a Christian prosperity preacher.
Oh, she's one of those prosperity gospel types?
Yeah, remember we looked it up and she has like a gem-encrusted bath or toilet and stuff
God.
Like that. Not that I really
How many
think
wells
there's...
could she build for the price of her toilet?
Not that I really have that much to say against her. I mean, whatever. She can do her own thing. But Sarah, the caller, is a communist and she loves this lady.
That's what's going on there, Sarah?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that...
you're supposed to hate prosperity if you're communist.
Well, not really. I mean, it's just I believe that you. I don't like the so-called like abusive billionaires, but I think, you know, Joyce Meyer, that's all of our good karma. It's all of our good deeds. And, you know, I think God wants us to be happy and joyful and have nice things in life.
So wait, are you saying, just to clarify, Sarah, are you saying that Joyce Meyer and other good people should be allowed to choose how to spend their money?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, you're not a communist. I just want to let you know right now, congratulations.
you are not a communist.
So, Sarah, I feel really, I'm relieved to discover this about you, that you actually have compassion.
She's a free market capitalist.
For other people, that you believe in the freedom of an individual to make choices for themselves. And that's a beautiful thing. Congratulations.
Well, I have to deal with the reality of what it is now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go either way. I could say everything could be state-owned and we just get allotted. That's okay with me. But if
Sarah,
you get blessed, that's okay. I mean, you don't have to be just one thing,
Sarah,
or the other.
No, you do.
You know what I mean?
No, yes, you do have to be one way or the other. You either believe that the state should own and control everything, which is communism or socialism, or you believe that the individual should get to decide for themselves how to spend their resources that they've earned for themselves. You cannot have it both ways.
Why is it that, but you're a capitalist, but you like...
No, I'm in favor of the free market.
Too.
I'm in favor of the free marketplace.
But you opposed so-called crony abusive capitalists.
Absolutely. I oppose any use of the idea of the state, which consolidates power and is always used to violate people's rights. So I'm against the violation of human rights, and I'm against the violation of an individual being able to make a choice for themselves about how to, you know, spend their money or spend their time.
Yeah,
what
but
about you?
You have a mixed attitude.
No,
you,
I don't.
You like capitalism, but you don't like abusive, like the Walton families or people that exploit
you don't
people
understand,
that have
Sarah,
to get on welfare.
I didn't call myself a capitalist. I believe in the free market. I believe in freedom. I believe in people being able to make choices.
I call myself a capitalist, and I'll tell you right now, the Walton family aren't capitalists. They use the power of government to make their business better all the time. That is not capitalism.
As soon as somebody turns their company into a corporation, they're using the government, and that's against, I think, all three of us here's principles.
Yeah, Walmart exists because of real sweetheart tariff deals that were made with the governments and, you know, making China an appendage of the United States at this point, you know,
force them to get communist programs like food stamps, welfare, and Medicaid, so they don't make enough to get by.
Right.
So the families have to go get subsidized by Section 8 housing. They can't pay the rent.
It's a horrible, vicious circle.
And it
all happens because the government put some programs in place to make things really easy for certain businesses to do business.
But for some reason, Sarah believes that if every single aspect of the economy was under complete control of the government, that everything would be a utopia, and it's really strange
to me. Backwards. They've destroyed everything economically good in the history of economics, and that's not just the United States government. That's every government in history.
Right, because a free economy is based on free choice, the ability for the individual to decide for themselves, and the state or the government, whatever you want to call them, takes away choice.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't believe that. That's what the emphasis, that's the propaganda. They want you to, they say communism is bad, and they'll say that's the reason, but that the real reason is there's no multi-billionaire corporations that
you did not, you don't make any sense. You just said you don't believe that the state takes away choices. That's by definition what they do. Laws restrict people's ability to choose.
It just confuse people. It's an economic system without the capitalist, the billionaires.
Sarah, you're the one who's confused.
Sarah said she doesn't read.
Freedom.
Yeah. You're the one who is not comprehending what is going on. You're the one who's confused. Every law that is on the books, by definition, takes away your freedom to choose.
Every single one of them.
Every single law out there. Now, I know you don't listen to Free Talk Live very often, but we were just talking about a law that prohibits someone from going in and choosing to put $9,999 into their bank account on more than one occasion. That's
one law. There are thousands more. I know.
Sarah?
Right?
Huh?
Well, that's because of the money laundering.
I don't care what the reason is. I don't care why. It restricts your choice.
Crazy.
Huh?
Okay, that's your opinion, okay?
It's just my opinion.
Reality.
Well, the difference is, Sarah, the law is an opinion backed by a gun. That's the difference between my opinion and the opinions you support. Thank you for the call tonight. If you support the law, quote unquote, if you support, which are just words written on paper by men and women who usually you don't know, but if you support laws, you are supporting opinions backed by the threat of violence, backed by men with guns, like the ATF guys that went and arrested a man for simply operating a YouTube channel where he said things that the men with guns, calling themselves the ATF, didn't like.
Because it scared them.
So they went ahead and they put this man behind bars, and he's now possibly going to face the rest of his life behind bars as a result of assisting, allegedly, promoting the sale of a piece of art on the internet. So those men did not have the freedom to choose to print and to sell this artwork. At least that's what the ATF is going to allege. Now it's going to have to go to a trial, and it's going to have to go in front of a jury, and then jury makes the wrong decision, it's going to be appealed, and it might go up to the Supreme Court. And hopefully the Supreme Court in that case would say, oh yeah, this is clearly artwork and this whole case is ridiculous, after 5 years or 10 years or however long it takes to get in front of the Supreme Court after they've been sitting in jail for, you know, half a decade. Or if they're really lucky, the jury will be sane and they will find them not guilty. Which, of course, just means the ATF can go and arrest the next guy, because one case being found not guilty isn't a prohibition on the ATF doing the exact same thing all over again. Anyway, the number 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160. And of course, the only way out of this is to leave the United States.
Correct.
As secession, and we like that idea. Hour 3 is on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. We're kicking off the third hour of the program, and the number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about the latest outrages by the ATF.
Plural.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearms. Didn't they add an explosives to it at one point?
It's the BATFE, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Yep. So we continue with that story here. It's Ian, Bonnie, and Matt in the studio tonight. Again, the number, if you want to join us, you can bring up anything you want. 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. So, Matt, you just barely scratched the surface on this story that you wanted to get into here about the ATF may be holding on to data from people that they're not supposed to be.
Correct. So they're not supposed to have a registry of firearms in the United States. There's no such thing in the United States where they're absolutely not allowed to do that. But
hold on. Is it that they can't do it at a federal level, or are states prohibited from doing that as well?
The firearms thing is really a federal thing. Most of the states abide by, at the very least, the Fed, like even New Hampshire abides by the federal rules on guns, and that's it.
I just think, you know, a state like New York State would probably have like a gun registry.
Whether they can start a registry, or I don't think they would be allowed to start a registry. I'm not sure if that would be a state's rights kind of thing. But interestingly, a congressman wanted to ask a few questions of the ATF because of something he saw. He saw that in fiscal year 2021, 54 million records were sent to the ATF. 54 million gun purchase records were sent to the ATF. Now, the ATF is typically, when you buy a gun, like we said before, the Form 4473 goes in a filing cabinet at your
gun shop,
your local gun shop, and the gun dealer has to hang on to them for 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then they can be disposed of or whatever.
Hmm.
That said, the Biden administration, as an aside, is trying to make that permanent. They're trying to make that indefinite holding. But what came out was that the ATF has built up a storehouse so big of these records. What happens is little mom and pop gun shops will, you know, open up, they'll sell a few hundred guns and they'll go out of business. And then they have to, if they dissolve their license, they have to send those records into the ATF.
Okay. Oh.
So the ATF warehouses them in Georgia. Apparently, they had so many that a floor collapsed. So they saved them all, obviously. They're not going to let such a gold mine of, you know, consumer information go away, American personal information go to pot. So they started digitizing it all.
Mm-hmm.
So
right, to save space to and save make sure space floors don't collapse.
Make sure floors don't collapse. And the question is it a searchable database, and under what terms is it searchable, and at what point does that digitized database actually become a de facto registry? So the ATF...
But just to clarify, this is only gun stores that have closed?
Closed, yeah.
Okay.
Interestingly, it turns out... Now, I always thought that the United States, the citizens of the United States, the largest standing army in the world, had somewhere on the order of about 450 million guns.
You mean privately owned guns?
And it turns out the ATF's records alone, the ones that they are in possession of... Mm-hmm. That have come from closed mom and pop gun shops and so forth.
The ones that registered.
The ones that they sent in the records for turned out to be 920,664,765. There's almost a billion guns in the United States that we know about.
Wow.
Those are the ones, and that's not including the ones at all the gun shops that are still open and maintaining the records.
And this is over however many decades the ATF has been around?
Yes. Yeah, since they started doing 4473s. So was that, I think 1968 was when they started doing that.
Wow.
So this is a pretty interesting thing to me. So not only are we finding out that the ATF is illegally keeping a registry, a de facto registry, whether they say it is or not, that's exactly what that is. Mm-hmm. If they're digitizing it, they can search it.
Any database can be searched.
Any database can be searched. That's a registry.
Yeah.
So they are in violation of that law. And on top of that, oh, by the way, there's way more guns out there than anybody thought.
Way more than a million if you just count like 3D printed guns on top of that.
Yeah,
you said you're million, pushing you a billion.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to say billion, sorry.
Yeah, it's 920 million. And of those, 800...
Plus however many are in all the existing gun stores
right.
from all the decades that those have been around.
Yes.
So it could be twice as many. Or I mean, more, we don't know.
Or more. And this is, by the way, the ones that have been digitized amount to 866 million. So almost all those 920 million have been digitized and are searchable.
Now, just to clarify, they have information on just the initial purchaser of these guns, right?
Yeah.
They don't know necessarily if those guns were sold, if those guns were lost, whatever,
right?
So if somebody bought that gun and then they sold that gun to another person, as long as they're in a relatively free state compared to, like, there's some states I imagine where they want to know everybody who sells a gun, whatever. Like, I'm guessing New York is like that because New York's one of the worst. But New Hampshire is one of the freest places as far as gun sales is concerned. If you correct me if I'm wrong on this, if you buy a gun from someone you know, there's no paperwork required.
Correct, yeah.
So therefore, The trail ends, is what I'm saying, in a lot of places.
Yep.
These 900 billion or 900 million guns, we don't know what percentage of those are still in the hands of the original person who bought them. So the database, it's bad, but it isn't the most useful of databases. It only gives them a starting point to say, hey, do you still have that gun that you bought 10 years ago? Nope. Lost it in a boating accident.
Tragic boating accident.
Yep. Who did I sell that to? You know. I just don't remember that guy's name.
I think I left that somewhere. Yeah. I don't... No. But, yeah.
Better to not talk to the cops, by the way. Just don't even answer their questions.
Just they're just dirtbags and shouldn't be associated with...
Yeah. So, you're saying, though, this is illegal, quote-unquote, for the ATF to have this database?
They're saying it's not a registry. We have records of all the guns that we're not supposed to have records of.
And in a database. Swear,
in a database, and it's searchable, but it's not a registry.
It's not a registry because we said so.
Yeah, the ATF wants to call it anything but a registry because it's illegal for them. So,
but it's not really... I mean, when you say it's illegal for them, it's not going to actually punish them, right?
Like, no.
If somebody in Congress says... Shame on you, ATF. How dare you make this registry? And they say, well, it's not a registry. And the congressman says, well, I think it's a registry and you have broken the law. Well, they're not going to get prosecuted for it. There's
and
not going to be
nobody's in trouble.
The Justice Department isn't going to bring itself up on charges.
Nobody's getting sued. Nobody has to send a check to anybody else. This is just abrogation of rights, business as usual.
There's two sets of rules here. There's the set of rules that you and I have to follow, and they'll put you in prison
absolutely.
If you even come close to violating one of their rules. If their interpretation is that you violated their statutes, and they'll throw you in the they'll throw the book at you like they did with Ross Ulbricht, mm-hmm. putting him in prison for two life sentences plus 40 years for the crime of creating a website. But if they break their own rules, well, then the worst case is somebody gets a stern talking to,
and probably promoted.
Or if not promoted. Every now and then there's a big enough scandal or something. Some sort of scandal happens in D.C. with some agency or whatever, and then they make a big show about, well, I, the president, will be removing the head of the FEMA or, the ATF in this case. I am going to punish you by removing the head from your agency and leaving everything else completely in place.
Yep.
Every other bureaucrat is exactly where they were before, but it's supposedly going to change everything to put a whole new bureaucrat.
And the ones
at
that
the
get
top.
Fired just end up becoming consultants making three times as much money.
Yeah, in the private sector.
In the private sector, serving only the government.
Serving the government. Yeah, so, I mean, the fix is in here. This is completely, the idea that there will be anyone who's held to account in any meaningful sense for this is absolutely pure fantasy.
There is no better word to describe it than fantasy.
Yeah, it's as much of a fantasy as the political fantasy of, oh, they're going to put Biden in prison someday, or, oh, they're going to put Trump in prison someday, or whatever. I think, wasn't your dad saying something like that on the phone the other day?
Yeah, my dad was on the phone with me the other day saying that hopefully Biden will go to prison for the way that they left seat right seated with the Taliban in Afghanistan. And I was just saying, why would he go to prison? The people who put people in prison are on his side. And he was just like, listen, somebody's got to go to prison for that. That's what he told me.
When is the last time a president went to a prison? With the exception of touring one while they're being built.
Right.
The number here is 603-283-6160. Now, I will make exception for the governors of Illinois. For some reason, they really love sending them to prison. But that's really the only place it happens. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Matt.
So you can bring up anything that is the point here on Free Talk Live, but we always bring things to the table. Whether you want to comment on the ATF ridiculous, outrageous violations of people's rights, which have continued over many years, and there's just the latest versions we talked about tonight. You can talk about that. We also covered ISIS, or again, whatever's on your mind at 603-283-6160. But Bonnie, you had a story that you've been meaning to share over the last few nights. We just haven't had a chance to get to it. And it's kind of going to sound a little similar to another story that we covered just a few weeks, like maybe even 3 weeks ago, if that, about a German newspaper, if I recall correctly.
Yes, Bild.
That was what the name of the paper was called?
Yep. The German newspaper Bild came out with an apology to their readers, especially the children, for their coverage of the last 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Whoa, what?
Apologia is the biggest newspaper in Germany, and they apologized, like the CEO made a video, and it was translated in this article, and we read it 3 weeks ago, where they were apologizing specifically to the children for ruining their lives with the, spreading propaganda.
Yeah, really?
Didn't they say something like, we basically thought the government was going to be more honest or something? Like they
were... we're sorry we blindly trusted the government, and we are sorry about the way that we promoted fear. And we helped people take away your childhood and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not quoting them. We're just
paraphrasing it. So basically, I presume that this is because thousands of people went into the streets and protested, and the newspaper realized that it's actually popular to, take a different perspective on this COVID thing. And so they decided to make an announcement, which is pretty unheard of.
How insulated would you have to be to not hear the voices of people speaking in opposition to you if you're working for a newspaper.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a great point.
You don't have to be insulated bad.
I mean, to their credit, they spoke out and they made a correction, which is more so than you can say for every other news agency.
More power to them. Good for them.
Until now. Because this from FEE, Foundation for Economic Education, we failed. Danish newspaper apologizes for its coverage of COVID-19. Extra Bladet, one of Denmark's largest newspapers, gleaned one of the most important lessons in journalism during the pandemic. A Danish newspaper has apologized to its reader for not questioning the government's data and narratives more throughout the first 2 years of the pandemic. That sounds bad that they called it the first two, and we're still in the second.
Yeah, but it ain't over.
The Extra, in its E-K-S-T-R-A, Bladet, founded in 1904, said it should have done more due diligence in examining the government's data and conclusions before reporting them. Quote, for almost 2 years, we, the press, and the population, so they're sharing blame this time, have been almost hypnotically preoccupied with the authorities' daily coronatal. Do you know what that is, coronatal?
Nope.
Anyways, wrote Bladet journalist Brian Weikart. The constant mental alertness has worn out tremendously on all of us. That is why we, the press, must also take stock of our own efforts, and we have failed.
Wow. Wow, that's big.
It went viral on Twitter earlier this month, and he suggested the newspaper should have asked more questions about how public health officials were tabulating data.
Yes, that is what a journalist would do. Welcome to 2022, y'all. That is the definition of what your job is supposed to be, is to ask tough questions and publish the responses or lack thereof. I mean, I didn't even go to school for this, and I know what that, you know, I know how you do this. So, is there more?
Yeah, he goes on, we have not been vigilant enough at the garden gate when the authorities were required to answer what it actually meant that people are hospitalized with corona and not because of corona. Because it makes a difference, a big difference. Exactly, the official hospitalization numbers have been shown to be 27% higher than the actual figure for how many there are in the hospital simply because they have corona. We only know that now.
Well, we were aware of this 2 years ago. We were saying, hey, we're questioning these numbers. These numbers seem ridiculous. Yep. They're counting people with gunshot wounds as having corona. Just throw the whole thing out. It's ridiculous. And so this guy's finally, 2 years later, he's admitting, oh, yeah, they lied to us. Or are they misinformed or purposely obscured or whatever you want to call it.
He goes on, even children have been vaccinated on a huge scale, which has not been done in our neighboring countries. In other words, there is something here that does not deserve the term super. Whether it's the vaccines, the hospitals, or a mixture of it all, it's every man's bid. But in any case, the authorities' communication to the population in no way deserves the term super.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. Some sort of German.
Yeah, I think that it's Danish, but I think it's a translation, Danish, yeah. So it's a little weird there.
Yeah. Interesting, Bonnie. Was there more that you thought was worth sharing on that? I'm glad to hear that these major media organizations at least have the integrity to make a correction.
It's a big deal. I can't believe they did it at all.
Yeah.
I think the rest of this article is just basically the people at FEE talking about don't just follow the experts and journalism needs to be actual journalism again. But I just wanted to cover that was said by a huge newspaper.
Maybe they figured out that
again,
the government isn't the one buying their papers and that it's actually individuals, the people of the country.
In my opinion, people should be looking for other sources for news, regardless of whether or not they came clean, because it means one of two things. It means at one point they were complicit or they were stupid.
Stupid.
Mm. Either way, I don't want to be hearing my facts from the complicit or the stupid.
I know. I've been considering maybe I need to just not go to the dentist again until this crap is over, because I've just been thinking about it. My dentist requires that I wear a mask. I had to go in there for cleaning the other day. Every time I go in there, he's supposed to be, some sort of medical you know, knowledgeable
but
person.
How do you know
maybe
it's
he's
required?
Not a hospital because there's signs on the doors.
But we know that's not true.
But if I'm not wearing a mask, then they say something.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, so you actually went in there without a mask on and they told you you had to put a mask on and you told them I'm medically exempt and they still said you had to?
I didn't tell them I'm medically exempt at the time.
Well, then, it's honestly, you're the one who's at fault there because they're just doing what they think they need to do to make their customers feel quote-unquote safe.
I think you don't know these people because they are
obviously,
always
I
like,
don't.
They're always like, you can get a mask and then when you sit down, you can take it off because that's
what
they want.
There are people that want to tell you what to do and you have to stand up for yourself.
Well, I think that a person who is supposedly supposed to be learned on medical things, mm-hmm. forcing me to wear a mask in order to use their services.
They strongly encouraged you. They didn't force you because you did
it
on your
own.
In order
to use
volition.
Their services.
But you don't know what would have happened if you'd said you were medically exempt. If you had said those are the magic words. If you say those magic words, 99 times out of 100, they will walk away and say, okay.
In Walmart, not in a
You don't know, Bonnie. You didn't
office.
Try it. I walked into my dentist's office. They didn't say anything to me.
It's a different dentist office.
More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Bonnie, and Matt in the studio tonight. And I do want to make sure that you know about Intercoin. Intercoin has been helping businesses and organizations launch their own tokens so they can do things like fundraise, and get the word out about what they're doing, and they can raise money using that token. You can now get the Intercoin token, which is the investor token, over at xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. Now, if you're not familiar with the Intercoin vision, you can check their website out over at intercoin.org. And then if you're interested in getting their investor token, you want to get ITR at xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. So in other good news from that part of the world, Bonnie, you had a story that a Danish newspaper is finally coming out and recanting what they have been publishing for the last 2 years and saying, we're sorry, we should have actually questioned the government on their statistics. We should have questioned the government gang on their claims, and we didn't, and we're sorry about that. So we hope you'll keep buying our newspapers. Essentially what they said. And nearby Sweden, the Associated Press is reporting that now Sweden has joined other European nations in saying they will be removing coronavirus restrictions. Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson announced, quote, it's time to open Sweden again, she said.
Is this only second to England doing it? Or are there more?
Apparently Denmark, actually. Among the measures and recommendations that will be lifted, Sweden will allow people to return to restaurants with no limitation on how many people will be there or how much space there should be for opening hours. So none of that 50%, 25%, 100%. Open again. Requirements for vaccine certificates and wearing face masks on public transportation will be removed, as well as a recommendation to limit social contact. So they are literally getting rid of all it sounds like, of these restrictions starting on February 9th. So that's just under 1 week from today. On Tuesday, the neighboring Denmark took the lead among European Union members by scrapping most of their restrictions. Hours later, Norway lifted its ban on serving alcohol after 11 p.m. and the cap on private gatherings of no more than 10 people.
Whoa, I didn't know that they were that locked down still.
Magdalena Andersson in Sweden said, quote, the pandemic is not over, but has entered a totally new phase. Phase in which you can completely eliminate all restrictions. I mean, I'm for it. I'm glad that they're doing it. And I wonder, does the trucker convoy have something to do with this? Because if you've been paying somewhat of attention to this, you know there have been images and videos coming from all over the planet where truck drivers, it's not just Canada. There are professional drivers all over the world who have come together and are doing very similar things to the Freedom Convoy in Canada. Now, it's not getting near, you know, I don't know what, I only just see things here and there on social media, right? Like, I'm not living in Sweden. I'm not living in Norway. I'm sure the people there are sharing those images more often, and so that stuff is getting around. But I have seen some things, yep. And I do know that they are happening.
In European countries?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, like, why is this happening now? You've got these newspapers going back. You've got the truckers are coming out. Is that why? Or is it because there's like a palpable sense among the people that they're not going to put up with this stuff anymore? It must be.
Or it's
right?
planned and it's part of something. Mm. Who knows? I don't like to give anybody too much credit anymore.
Hmm. Let's see what else. Social Affairs Minister told the same news conference that authorities will, quote, continue to be vigilant about how the pandemic will develop. So, of course, they could, you know, flip on the restrictions any old time. They know that people will do what they're told for the most part. The reason for the Swedish move is similar to that in Denmark. Although there is an increase in infection rates, it's not burdening hospitals. High vaccination rates, they claim, are making the situation more hopeful. And all Swedes, or 80% of all Swedes over the age of 50, have now received 3 vaccine doses in Sweden. So they're opening back up. While other places are still mandating things. Austria has still mandated everyone receive the vaccine under the penalty of going to prison. There's, of course, still restrictions that are in high, you know, availability in Australia, where it's in the middle of summer and they're still locking people under crazy restrictions there. So we're seeing a bit of a patchwork out there all around the planet. Of course, if you want to weigh in on this, you're welcome to join us. Our number is 603-283-6160. I admit I have not checked in on the convoy today. Have either of you seen anything out of Canada today?
No. The only thing I saw this week, the one thing, I haven't been on the air in a week, so one thing I wanted to bring up was, it was kind of funny that Justin Trudeau said that, you know, he was COVID-19 positive, so he had to lay low for a couple days.
Oh, is that why he disappeared?
Wow. I didn't see him say that.
But he posted that on February 2nd.
Right.
When it was still February 1st in Canada.
Yeah, and that means, as you figured out, that means he lives somewhere where February 2nd comes before February 1st, which is basically Pacific, Asia region of the world.
Australia, so. New Zealand, China somewhere, must be, maybe Japan.
You mean he wasn't February in Canada. 2nd comes before it does in Canada? You said comes before February 1st.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, it comes sooner to a certain part of the world, yeah. I guess, is what I meant. And
Twitter,
he's hiding out.
Twitter just registered it as a February 2nd post. He wasn't, you know, they didn't think about that when they posted it.
Or should I say he's hiding oot?
I didn't hear that he said that the reason he was hiding oot was because he had COVID. It's just, that's kind of crazy because that means he's traveling. Shouldn't he be at his house?
Right.
If
right.
he has COVID and he believes
he's
all the...
He's globetrotting.
So the Freedom Convoy, as of the most recent that I've seen, they're still out there. They're still doing their thing. They're still parked.
I'm still torn on the Freedom Convoy.
Really? But now, what aspect? The fact that they're blocking the roads?
Yeah, they're not really gonna. I mean, if they can just choke off the Capitol and starve everybody in there, that's fine. You know, I'm okay with that. It'd be great if they did it with Washington, D.C. But really what they're going to do is just destroy the local economy. You know, they won't be able to get goods in and out. The highways are blocked. You won't be able to get gas in and out. You won't be able to get medical supplies in and out. And then they become bad guys.
But should they become slaves who have to get an injection?
I don't think what they're doing is the answer.
I'm not sure. Okay, so this is a question that I really hope that we get to hear from the organizers of this thing, because right before, like the same day that the GoFundMe got taken down, I had sent a message through to the organizers requesting that they do an interview, because those are questions that are important to ask about, well, can, you know, if there's a restaurant that's open in the area where this protest is going on, can a truck with the food for the restaurant actually get in and make a delivery? Mm-hmm. Can the ambulance, the old claim is, they're going to block the ambulances. Can the ambulance actually go through these roads? And when you watch the footage of the roads out in front of Parliament Hill or whatever the hell they call it there with a big building, There's an open lane.
Is there?
Yes. The far right lane. So when you're looking at the road that's in front of Parliament, there's like 3 lanes that are completely full of trucks. And the far right lane is open.
Huh.
So I don't buy the claim that an emergency vehicle cannot get through this this area, because that's the, one of the main critiques that you heard early on. I've not seen a full-on blocked
street. So they're not blocking economics from being economics.
I don't think so.
And also, all the intersections are not blocked, and any street that is parallel to the building, whatever the big building is, has trucks in it, but the ones like perpendicular don't trucks, so you can tell that people can move one way at least.
Oh, that's really interesting. So if that's true, then if the perpendicular streets are completely unblocked and there's one lane on the parallel streets that's open, people can move around.
Strange, like if this just, you know, spontaneously happened, why did they just agree to park?
They're communicating. It's spontaneous in that it happened.
Are they driving around in circles? Because
no, they're sitting.
How are they running their trucks? They got to stay warm.
The trucks will keep them warm.
They got to have diesel in the trucks to run.
Yeah, we talked about this.
100-gallon tanks, man, or whatever.
I don't know if they're refueling or what.
They have to be refueling.
How?
That's a good question. Well, if there's one lane open, then maybe they're jockeying in and out somehow. There's more coming up here. If you want to weigh in, 603-283-6160. Live, the number here is 603-283-6160. Moments remain, maybe enough time for you if you join us right now. 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Matt.
Coming up, the giant gold cube. I don't want to forget to talk about this, so we'd have to talk about it.
I gotta look it up.
It's kind of bizarre and unusual. But first, we're going to go to your calls and thoughts. Oh, and a quick little clip here from the premiere, Scott Moe of Saskatchewan in Canada, one of the provinces, the southern Canadian provinces that has had the convoy travel through it on the way to Ottawa. Here's what he has to say.
Hi, everyone. There's been a lot of discussion lately about whether it's time for us in Saskatchewan to look at ending all of the remaining COVID measures and restrictions that we have in place.
Well,
I think it is time. That's what I am hearing, and that's what our MLAs are hearing from most of their constituents. Now, that's not because COVID has ended.
And he goes and blathers on for another 2 minutes there, but oh, interesting. How convenient.
Politicians think that they need to tell people if COVID has ended. Won't people just decide that for them? I mean, like, won't people see that for themselves if there's really a pandemic going on?
Well, you would think the whole time people would see it for themselves, but that hasn't stopped them from acting like scared little, cowards running around, masking up, double, triple masking, washing their hands and, you know, putting the whatever the hell that stuff is.
It's just interesting to me that every time one of the politicians have come out and said that, you know, this is actually 2 years into this, I actually think that we should stop doing these stupid measures.
But
COVID is not over. Yeah. They keep saying that.
Sure. But I think it's interesting that this just happens to coincide with essentially almost one week of the convoy, the Freedom Convoy there in Canada. There's
You think one has to do with the other?
I mean, it's awfully coincidental that this guy's coming out and saying, okay, no, we're hearing from our constituents that we ought to get rid of these things. And good for them. You know, I think it was the truckers that pushed this thing over the finish line.
I hope so.
And now it's not done yet. He's just saying that they're going to, right? So they're moving in that direction. And these drivers, they're planning on staying. As of yesterday when we, you know, there's been interviews done on these guys and these ladies. They are going to stay. Some of them say they're willing to stay for weeks or longer if necessary until these restrictions are lifted. And so that's what, you know, it's an incredible level of dedication that these guys, are giving to this.
And it's not just them either. There's a whole support network surrounding. There's people bringing in, you know, religious organizations bringing in food supplies and setting up tents and first aid and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. We're going to keep our eyes on this. Again, tomorrow and Saturday, basically it's going to be a week starting tomorrow and Saturday that they've been out there. And of course, a new weekend means that there's people that are off from work They're going to come down there, just like when Occupy happened a decade ago. There were the people that have to work during the week. They just really weren't there. But then when they were off work, it's like, all right, we're coming down to where the party is. You know, we're going to come down and back up these people that have been there all week long and tell them thanks and, you know, go hang out. And I think they played a hockey game yesterday. They cleared one of the streets out.
Oh, that's awesome.
And got out and played hockey with each other.
And the crowds you see on the news, like the videos that you, not on the news, I don't show anything on the news, but
no.
You know, in the alternative media, when they show the crowds of Canadians and singing "Oh Canada" and stuff, they are giant crowds.
Yeah,
giant crowds,
and they've got supporters all across the country as well. So let's go to David. He's in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple observations supporting your allegations there. One, and we don't need to talk about it very long because you don't support the U.S. government declaration, constitution stuff, but the declaration does give us, we the people, permission to, with a simple declaration, to dissolve our entire government and tell them debate is over, goodbye, clear your office, get the hell out of here and make something that is more suitable. And two, on the truckers there, I heard somebody reporting that, and we'll assume they're accurate, that the Trudeau party, whatever that party is called, the left, is received in the last quarter $3 million. I don't know if that's U.S. or Canadian dollars, but $3 million in donations. And the right, the opposing party, received approximately the same. However, the truckers received $10 million.
In like a week, by the way. It didn't take long to raise $10 million, like maybe 10 days.
Right. So obviously those people are donating in order to keep fueling those trucks so that they can idle there and you know, to keep them warm and a place to sleep and food to eat, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And thirdly, my personal observation, I went to town yesterday to get supplies, and the governor here, the little chupacabra, Michelle Lujan Grissom, she's one of the few states that still has an indoor mask mandate. And outside of the store that I went into, they actually have a little sandwich board, formal commercially made sign that says masks required by whatever law. And I walk in without my mask and nobody says a word.
Good.
Or gives me a look at all.
Good.
Unfortunately, about half the population that comes in there is still wearing a mask.
That's
so when they
sad.
Go in, but nobody says a word to people not wearing a mask. And here's another piece of evidence in that they were having an inventory reduction sale, and one of the major components of their inventory reduction sale, 75% off, they were clearing out every bottle of hand sanitizer of every different size because nobody's buying them anymore.
Good. So, thank goodness. Good call tonight, David. Thanks for sharing
that's great news.
That with us. Really appreciate it. Unscreen caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Who's this?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, who is this?
Hey, my name's Kenny.
Kenny, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm a truck driver down here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Nice. Thanks for your service.
Well, y'all welcome. Got to make a living, right?
Well, we appreciate what you do. What were you calling about? Go ahead.
I was listening to y'all talking about all these newspapers apologizing and all this other stuff about the mask and about the mandates and everything. I heard something, I think it was last night or night before, somebody else. They were talking about the John Hopkins report that came out talking about the mandates and all the other stuff that they had done a research from all these different European countries and all these other things and whatever, and they found out that the lockdowns and the mandates and everything, as far as the COVID deaths are concerned, it didn't do like a 0.2% of actually helping anything. So basically the mandates and the lockdowns didn't do almost anything any good whatsoever, other than the economy going to crap.
Yeah.
And
don't forget the suicides. Don't forget the suicides and the drug abuse and the the people that can't live with each other, beating each other. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
All of our kids being a year or 2 years behind in school.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you really care about your kids, get them out of the government schools. But yes,
absolutely.
It's been a nightmare.
I mean, just think about the million puppies that were just bought, and now everybody's going back to work, and they can't take care of them.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Kenny, thanks for the call. Before you go, is there a plan? I've heard a rumor. I saw one guy on the internet talking about it, but I haven't heard much since then. Are American truckers planning a coast-to-coast California to D.C. convoy soon?
I have not heard anything about that. I don't know.
All right. Well, hey, if you do hear anything about it, will you do us a favor and give us a call?
Yeah, I will. If I hear anything about it, I work for a company. I'm not an owner operator. I'm sure a lot of these guys that are up there doing what they're doing to protest are probably owner operator.
They've got to be. They've got to be. But there's a large portion of the trucking industry that is owner operator, isn't that right?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of owner operators out here.
Do you know offhand what the percentage is of trucks that are?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
But
I really don't know. I do know they're talking about us being like a million truck drivers short of what we actually need. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of freaking trucks on the road. I see it every freaking day.
Yeah, and it's still not enough. Hey, thank you, Kenny. I do appreciate hearing from you. Enjoy the ride out there, and we hope to hear from you again soon. Definitely appreciate the call tonight. Those guys are doing amazing work.
Mm-hmm, definitely. They're heroes of the marketplace, man.
I imagine a trucker was required to haul this $17.7 million gold cube that is like 400-something pounds.
I was wondering how big. I mean, I know what a block of gold weighs. I've held onto a block of gold before, and this thing is...
There's an image of people standing next to it. It basically goes up to just under knee height.
Weird. I didn't find one with people standing up next to it, but it looked bigger than knee height to me just from the picture of it by itself.
Yeah, this is like 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet. Yeah, it's a huge cube.
It's a big block of gold. I did the calculations. You could print like 6.5 million gold backs from this block.
And they should.
I want to talk about it tomorrow, though, because it's kind of a weird story, and it deserves more than 20 seconds. So we'll see you then. FreeTalkLive.com.